but now they are dropped down into hell. They cry. A little while ago, they were painting their faces, feeding their lusts, following their whores, robbing their neighbors, telling of lies, following of plays and sports to pass away the time. But now they are in hell. They do cry. It may be last year they heard some good sermons, were invited to receive heaven, were told their sins should be pardoned if they closed in with Jesus, but refusing his pro offers and slighting the grace that was once tendered, they are now in hell and do cry. Before, they had so much time that they thought that they could not tell how to spend it unless it were in hunting and whoring, in dancing and playing, and spending whole hours, yea, days, nay, weeks in the lusts of the flesh. But when they depart into another place, they begin to lift up their eyes in hell and consider their miserable and irrecoverable condition. They will cry. Oh, what a condition wilt thou fall into when thou dost depart this world. If thou depart unconverted and not born again, thou hadst better have been smothered the first hour thou wast born. Thou hadst better have been plucked one limb from another. Thou hadst better have been made a dog, a toad, a serpent, nay, any other creature in the visible world, than to die unconverted. And this thou wilt find to be true when in hell thou dost lift up thine eyes and dost cry. Here then, before we go any further, you may see that it is not without good ground that these words are here spoken by our Lord, that when any of the ungodly do depart into hell, they will cry. Cry? Why so? Number one, they will cry to think that they should be cut off from the land of the living, never more to have any footing therein. Number two, they will cry to think that the gospel of Christ should be so often pro-offered them, and yet they're not profited by it. Number three, they will cry to think that now, though they would never so willingly repent and be saved, yet they are past all recovery. Number four, they will cry to think that they should be so foolish as to follow their pleasures when others were following of Christ. Luke chapter 13, verse 28. Number five, they will cry to think that they must be separated from God, Christ, and the kingdom of heaven, and that forever. Number six, to think that their crying will now do them no good. Number seven, to think that, at the day of judgment, they must stand at the left hand of Christ among an innumerable company of the damned ones. Number eight, they will cry to think that Lazarus, whom once they slighted, must be of them that must sit down with Christ to judge, or together with Christ, to pass a sentence of condemnation on their souls forever and ever. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Number 9. Cry to think that when the judgment is over, and others are taken into the everlasting kingdom of glory, then they must depart back again into that dungeon of darkness from whence they came out, to appear before the terrible tribunal. There they shall be tormented so long as eternity lasts, without the least intermission or ease. How sayest thou, O thou wanton, proud, swearing, lying, ungodly wretch, whether this be to be slighted and made a mock at? And tell me again, and again tell me now, if it be not better to leave sin and to close in with Christ Jesus, notwithstanding that reproach thou shalt meet with for so doing, than to live a little while in this world in pleasures and feeding thy lusts, in neglecting the welfare of thy soul and refusing to be justified by Jesus, and in a moment to drop down to hell and to cry? Oh, consider, I say, consider betimes, and put not off the tenders of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, lest you lift up your eyes in hell and cry for anguish of spirit. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, etc. Second, These words do not only hold forth the lamentable condition of the damned and their lamentable howling and crying out under their anguish of spirit, but also they do signify to us, as I said before, their too late repentance, and also that they would very willingly, if they might, be set at liberty from that everlasting misery that by their sins they have plunged themselves into. I say, these words do hold forth a desire that the damned have to be delivered from those torments that they are now in. O Father Abraham, saith he, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. These words, Father Abraham, may have some difficulty in them. It is possible that some may think them to be meant of Abraham, and those, or him that crieth out here, to be the Jews. Or it may be some may understand it is to be God, or Jesus Christ his Son, which I rather suppose it may be, that is here cried out unto, because you find the same cry to him as it were uttered by the ungodly in other places of the Scripture, such as in Luke 13, verses 25 and 26. Then shall they say, Lord, Lord, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Nay more, in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. This was just of their rejection. And again, in Matthew 25, verse 11, they cry again to him, even to Jesus, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he there again gives them a repulse, as also in this parable. But however or whosoever Abraham is, yet these truths may be observed from the words. Number one, that the damned, when in an irrecoverable estate, will seek for or desire deliverance from the wrath that they are and shall be in for eternity. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Psalm 32, verse 6. Number two, that they will pray, if I may so call it, earnestly for deliverance from their miserable estate. These two things are clear from the words. For Mark, he not only said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, but he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Number three, from whence take a third observation, and that is, there is a time coming wherein, though men shall both cry and pray, yet they are like to have no mercy at the hands of God. For so was this man served, as I shall further show by and by when I come to it. Some people are so deluded by the devil as to think that God is so merciful as to own or regard anything for prayer. They think anything will go for current and good satisfaction while they are here in this world, through ignorance of the true nature of the mercy of God and the knowledge in what way God is satisfied for sinners. Now I say, through ignorance they think that if they do but mutter over some form of prayers, though they know not what they say nor what they request, yet God is satisfied, yea, very well satisfied with their doings, when, alas, there is nothing less. Oh, friends, I beseech you to look about you and seek in good earnest for the Spirit of Christ, so to help you now to strive and pray and to enable you to lay hold of Christ, that your souls may be saved, lest the time come that, though you cry and pray and wish also that you had laid hold on the Lord Jesus, yet you must and shall be damned. Then again, you may see that though God be willing to save sinners at some time, yet this time doth not always last. No, he that can find in his heart to turn his back upon Jesus Christ now shall have the back turned upon him hereafter, when he may cry and pray for mercy and yet go without it. God will have a time to meet with them that now do not seek after him. They shall have a time, yea, time enough hereafter to repent their folly and to befool themselves for turning their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I will laugh at your calamity, saith he, and mock when your fear cometh. Proverbs 1:26. Again, this should admonish us to take some time while it is pro-offered, lest we repent us of our unbelief and rebellion when we are deprived of it. Ah, friends, time is precious, and hours time to hear a sermon is precious. I have sometimes thought thus with myself. Set the case. The Lord should send two or three of his servants, the ministers of the gospel, to hell amongst the damned, with this commission. Go ye to hell, and preach my grace to those that are there. Let your sermon be an hour long, and hold forth the merits of my son's birth, righteousness, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession, with all my love in him, and proffer it to them, telling them that now once more, and but once, do I proffer the means of reconciliation to them. They who are now roaring, being past hope, would then leap at the least proffer of mercy. Oh, they that could spend whole days, weeks, nay, years, in rejecting the Son of God, would now be glad of one tender of that mercy. Father, saith he, have mercy on me. Again, from these words you may observe that mercy would be welcome when souls are under judgment. Now his soul is in the fire. Now he is under the wrath of God. Now he is in hell, there to be tormented. Now he is with the devils and damned spirits. Now he feels the vengeance of God. Now, oh, now, have mercy on me. Here you may see that mercy is prized by them that are in hell. They would be glad if they could have it. Father, have mercy on me. For my poor soul's sake, send me a little mercy. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Third, these words do not only hold forth that the ungodly have a desire of mercy, but what those mercies are, and what these poor creatures would be glad of, as, number one, to have the company of a Lazarus granted to them. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. Now Lazarus was he that was beloved of God, and also he that was hated of them. Therefore, number two, observe that those saints that the world in their lifetime could not endure, now that they are departed, they would be glad to have society with them. Oh, now send Lazarus. Though the time was when I cared not for him, yet now let me have some society with him. Though the world disregard the society of God's children now, yet there is a time coming in which they would be glad to have the least company with him. Nay, do but observe, those of the saints that are now most rejected by them, even from them shall they be glad of comfort, if it might be. Send Lazarus, he that I slighted more than my dogs, he that I could not endure should come into my house, but must lie at my gate. Send him. Now Lazarus shall be welcome to me. Now do I desire some comfort from him, but he shall go without it. From whence again observe, there is a time coming, O ye surly, dogged persecutors of the saints, that they shall slight you as much as ever you slighted them. You have given them many an hard word, told many a lie of them, given them many a blow, and now, in your greatest need and extremity, they shall not pity you. The righteous shall rather rejoice when he seeth the vengeance of God upon me. Psalm 58:10. Again, send Lazarus. From whence observe that any of the saints shall then be owned by you to be saints. Now you look upon them to be the sect with the Hymenaeus and Philetus, but then you shall see them to be the Lazaruses of God, even God's dear children. Though now the saints of the Lord will not be owned by you, because they are beggarly, low, poor, contemptible among you, yet the day is coming that you shall own them, desire their company, and wish for the least courtesy from them. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Thus shall the souls that abide in their sins cry out in the bitterness of their spirits, with wonderful anguish and torment of conscience, without intermission, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, that he, namely, the man who before I scorned, should eat with the dogs of my flock, that before I slighted and had no regard of, that I shut out of my door, sent him, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now these words, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, etc., do hold forth the least friendship or favor, as if he should have said, now I would be glad of the least mercy, now I would be glad of the least comfort, though it be but one drop of cold water on the tip of his finger. One would have thought that this had been a small request, a small courtesy. One drop of water, what is that? Take a pail full of it, if that will do thee any good. But mark, he is not permitted to have so much as one drop, not so much as a man may hold upon the tip of his finger. This signifies that they that fall short of Christ shall be tormented, even as long as eternity lasteth, and shall not have so much as the least ease, no, not so long as while a man may turn himself round, not so much leave as to swallow his spittle, not a drop of cold water. Oh, that these things did take place in your hearts, how would it make you to seek after rest for your souls before it be too late, before the Son of the Gospel be set upon you? Consider, I say, the misery of the ungodly that they shall be in, and avoid their vices, by closing in with the tenders of mercy, lest you partake of the same portion with them, and cry out in the bitterness of your souls, one drop of cold water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Indeed, the reason why the poor world does not so earnestly desire for mercy is partly because they do not so seriously consider the torment that they must certainly fall into if they die out of Christ. But let me tell you, did but poor souls indeed consider that wrath that doth by right fall to their shares because of their sins against God, they would make more haste to God through Christ for mercy than they do. Then we should have them say, it is good closing with Christ today before we fall into such distress. But why is it said, let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? Because that, as the several members in the body have their share in sin and committing of that, so the several members of the body shall at that time be punished for the same. Therefore, when Christ is admonishing his disciples that they should not turn aside from him, and that they should rather fear and dread the power of their God before any other power, he saith, fear him. Therefore, that can cast both body and soul into hell, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And again, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Here is not one member only, but all the body, the whole body, of which the hands, feet, eyes, ears, and tongue are members. And I am persuaded that though this may be judged carnal by some now, yet it will appear to be a truth then, to the greater misery of those who shall be forced to undergo that which God, in his just judgment, shall inflict upon them. Oh, then they will cry, one dram of ease for my cursing, swearing, lying, jeering tongue. Some ease for my bragging, braving, flattering, threatening, dissembling tongue. Now men can let their tongues run at random, as we used to say. Now they will be apt to say, our tongues are our own, who shall control them? Psalm 12, verse 4. But then they will be in another mind. Then, oh, that I might have a little ease for my deceitful tongue. Methinks sometimes to consider how some men do let their tongues run at random. It makes me marvel. Surely they do not think that they shall be made to give an account for their offending with their tongue. Did they but think they shall be made to give an account to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Surely they would be more wary of and have more regard unto their tongue. The tongue, saith James, is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. James 2. The tongue, however much mischief will it stir up in a very little time. How many blows and wounds doth it cause? How many times doth it, as James saith, curse man? How oft is the tongue made the conveyor of that hellish poison that is in the heart, both to the dishonor of God, the hurt of its neighbors, and the utter ruin of its own soul? And do you think the Lord will sit still, as I may say, and let thy tongue run as it lists, and yet never bring you to an account for the same? No, stay. The Lord will not always keep silence, but will reprove thee, and set thy sins in order before thine eyes, O sinner. Yea, and thy tongue, together with the rest of thy members, shall be tormented for sinning. And I say, I am very confident, that though this be made light of now, yet the time is coming when many poor souls will rue the day that ever they did speak with a tongue. Oh, one will say, that I should so disregard my tongue. Oh, that I, when I said so and so, had before bitten off my tongue. That I had been born without a tongue. My tongue, my tongue, a little water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, even in that flame that my tongue, together with the rest of my members, by sinning, have brought me to. Poor souls now will let their tongues say anything for a little profit, for twopence or threepence gain. But, oh, what a grief will this be at that day when they, together with their tongue, must smart for that which they, by their tongues, have done while they were in this world. Then, you that love your souls, look to your tongues. Look to your tongues, lest you bind yourselves down so fast to hell with the sins of your tongues, that you will never be able to get loose again to all eternity. For by thy words thou shalt be condemned, if thou have not a care for thy tongue. For I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. These words are the answer to the request of the damned. The verse before, as I told you, is a discovery of the desires they have after they depart this world. Here is the answer. Son, remember, etc. The answer signifies this much, that instead of having any relief or ease, they are hereby the more tormented, and that by fresh recollections, or by bringing afresh their former ill-spent life, while in the world, into their remembrance. Son, remember, thou hadst good things in thy lifetime, as much as if he had said, thou art now sensible what it is to lose thy soul. Thou art now sensible what it is to put off repentance. Thou art now sensible that thou hast befooled thyself, and that thou didst spend that time in seeking after outward, momentary, earthly things, which thou shouldest have spent in seeking to make Jesus Christ sure to thy soul. And now, through thy anguish of spirit, in the pains of hell, thou wouldst enjoy that which in former time thou didst make light of. But alas, thou art here, beguiled and altogether disappointed. Thy crying will now avail thee nothing at all. This is not the acceptable time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is not a time to answer the desires of damned reprobates. If thou hadst cried out in good earnest while grace was offered, much might have been. But when thou wast careless and didst turn the forbearance and goodness of God into wantonness, wast thou not told that those who would not hear the Lord when he did call should not be heard if they turned away from him when they did call? But contrariwise, he would laugh at their calamity and mock when their fear did come. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Now, therefore, instead of expecting the least drop of mercy and favor, call into thy mind how thou didst spend those days which God did permit thee to live. I say, remember that in thy lifetime, thou didst behave thyself rebelliously against the Lord, in that thou wert careless of his word and ordinances, yea, and of the welfare of thine own soul also. Therefore, now I say, instead of expecting or hoping for any relief, thou must be forced to call to remembrance thy filthy ways and feed upon them, to thine everlasting astonishment and confusion. From these words, therefore, which say, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, there are these things to be taken notice of. First, they that by putting off repentance and living in their sins lose their souls shall, instead of having the least measure of comfort when they come into hell, have their ill-spent life always very fresh in their remembrance. While they live here, they can sin and forget it, but when they depart, they shall have it before them. They shall have a remembrance, or their memory notably enlightened, and a clearer and continual sight of all their wicked practices that they wrought and did while they were in the world. Son, remember, saith he. Then you will be made to remember, number one, how you were born in sin and brought up in the same. Number two, remember how thou hadst many a time the gospel preached to thee for taking away of the same by him whom the gospel doth hold forth. Number three, remember that out of love to thy sins and lusts, thou didst turn thy back on the tenders of the same gospel of good tidings and peace. Number four, remember that the reason why thou didst lose thy soul was because thou didst not close in with free grace and the tenders of a loving and free-hearted Jesus Christ. Number five, remember how near thou wast to turning at such and such a time, only thou wast willing to give way to thy lusts when they wrought, to drunkards when they called, to pleasures when they pro-offered themselves, to the cares and encumbrances of the world, which, like so many thorns, did choke that or those convictions that were set on thy heart. Number six, remember how willingly thou wast to satisfy thyself with a hypocrite's hope, and with a notion of the things of God without the real power and life of the same. Number seven, remember how thou, when thou wast admonished to turn, didst put off turning and repenting till another time. Number eight, remember how thou didst dissemble at such a time, lie at such a time, cheat thy neighbor at such a time, mock, flout, scoff, taunt, hate, persecute the people of God at such a time, in such a place, among such company. Number nine, remember that while others were met together in the fear of the Lord to seek him, thou wast met with a company of vain companions to sin against him.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwaters Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwaters Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.